This is Friendly Fire with Ryan and Tarek on the Astral Talk Network.
And welcome to your Tuesday evening, everybody. It is good to have you here and good to have you with us for what will prove to be the finest 3 hours of radio you've heard in the next 3 hours.
Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
No.
Ever.
Who do you
Ever.
Think? Perhaps. It could be, because we've got a great lineup tonight.
Absolutely.
Let's shift gears a little here. We've talked many times about the Toronto Afrocentric schools, and there is a new election ad out, although we aren't at the election point yet. The Freedom Party, who does run quite a bit in, I think, each and every election provincially, has put out a commercial. We do have a little bit of it that talks about the Afrocentric schools and the idea of the Afrocentric schools in Toronto being closed. Have a listen.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Ontario's public schools should not tell children that this man is among the greatest black athletes in history. They should tell children that this man is among the greatest athletes in history. Freedom Government will eliminate race-focused public schools.
I am the greatest!
One race, the human race. Freedom Party.
Now, of course, the images are of Muhammad Ali, and yes, he is the beginning figure in those ads. I'm going to come back and get your take on it. We're also going to talk to Paul McKeever, who is from the Freedom Party of Ontario, and we'll get his take on why he feels these schools should be shut down. We're going to do that in 60 seconds as Friendly Fire gets going here on your Tuesday night on News Talk 1010. 7:15.
Late last night, the Toronto District School Board approved a controversial proposal to create the city's first black-focused public school.
In 2008, the Toronto School Board decided to establish a black-focused public school. Liberal Premier Dalton McGuinty refused to stop it.
He's not taking any action to stop the board from establishing the school.
Tim Hudak's Progressive Conservatives did not object to it. The school now teaches little children that their potential and their values are determined by the color of their skin. A Freedom Government will eliminate race-based public schools.
This black school thing? No, it ain't right.
One race, the human race. Freedom Party.
That is the latest ad from the Freedom Party of Ontario. Tarek, I promised I would get your comment as far as the Afrocentric schools are concerned and whether or not this group is on the right track.
Well, I hope it's on the right track, but I hope some of the major parties would say the same thing. I think people who genuinely feel that this is a wrong move are scared of saying so. We've got the Aboriginal school, which has not produced any results. It took us, 2 years to recruit about 10, 15 students to the school. We ran into different issues. And whether we like the Freedom Party or not, but I think it means something when you say that Muhammad Ali was not the greatest black athlete.
He was the greatest
he
athlete.
He was the greatest. And Muhammad Ali never said,
I'm the greatest, I'm the black, greatest black athlete of all time.
I'm the greatest guy. I mean, this guy was so such an amazing political entity as well. And his impact right across the world was not because he was black, but because he stood up, you know, against the Vietnam War, he resisted the draft.
Yeah, and I think the second where you start to parse it into individual skin color and accomplishment, you really do water down the message.
There is a place to identify skin color when you are identifying the obstacles people have when there is active racism. But you can't simply take a problem that has been solved or is being solved in integration and say, well, we're going to start segregating. That's not going to work.
Paul McKeever is the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. What's the reasoning behind the ads?
Well, we've been fighting this for 3 years. In fact, 3 years ago today, I wrote a letter to the government of Ontario, the Premier, and asking him to step in to prevent the Toronto School Board from going ahead with this proposal. By the way, hi first of all to both Tarek and yourself.
Hello.
Hello.
But, you know, here we are 3 years later, nothing's been done. The school opened in September of 2009. We oppose it because we think that taxpayers should be focused on, if they're going to be spending their money on schools, the focus of the schools should be on each individual appreciating the facts of reality, using their own rational mind, knowing that their potential is not limited by the color of their skin or by their racial background. Just because somebody of your own skin color was great in the past or horrible in the past doesn't mean that you're going to be great or horrible. It's all up to you in life, and you've got to focus on the essentials, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, and no amount of genealogical or genetic baggage is going to get you one way or another.
But their argument is that black Canadian young kids are being held back in mainstream schools because they aren't any role models.
Well, you know, there's two parts to that. One is, if there's an inadequacy in our curriculum in all of the public schools, that does need to be corrected. So in other words, if there is a deliberate effort to leave out what are in fact great achievements that students of all racial, if you want to call it that, backgrounds, ought to know about, for example, the history of Africa, or the history of China, or the history of parts of Europe, or the history of, you name it.
India.
Yes, exactly, India, Pakistan.
He likes naming countries, yes, just ignore that part.
But the point is, these are human achievements, they aren't Indian achievements or Chinese achievements, etc., per se. They are the intellectual heritage of all humanity. And to say we've got to focus just on the black or just on the African or just on the Chinese, etc., is not only racist, but it will actually harm the child. We're not being raised, we're in a global village here. And nobody really gives a darn about, you know, the local history of your little town or your little province. You need to know the essentials of the world. And I think that when we start setting up schools according to genetic background, we're doing the students a real disservice, and we're emphasizing race as though it's somehow intrinsically valuable to the student, and it's not. That's the thing we have to teach them, is not valuable, that your race doesn't make you a cad or a great person. It's just a bunch of genetic material.
This is Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. I agree with Tariq's assessment that this is nothing more than segregation, but why do you think that governments are so quick to turn to this rather than fixing what's wrong with the current system?
Well, you know, to be fair to the Premier at the time, I remember him saying that he had concerns, although the concerns didn't go to the fundamentals, and that was that this was a racist approach to what it thought was handling it. But, I mean, clearly, the people doing it, many of the people doing it anyway, are trying to solve a problem, and for that they've got to be given credit. At least they're trying. But, you know, the government ultimately failed, and the reason it failed is because it didn't want to appear racist. It didn't know what the essentials are, if you want my opinion. With respect to the opposition, they were similarly paralyzed. You'll recall that it had only been weeks before that the Progressive Conservatives had been hammered in the 2007 election for talking about giving taxpayer funding to religious schools. So that was religious segregation in some views. So I think both the Liberals and the Progressive Conservatives have let us down. I don't see them ever coming back to it because they're terrified of looking bad. Well, Freedom Party is going to say it. We've been saying it for 3 years. We've been on TV. I've been writing letters. I've been doing what I can, and this is just another step in our effort to try and straighten things out.
We appreciate you taking the time tonight.
Thank you.
Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. It's an interesting message, the idea, and I think it's an important one, that your individuality is more important than the color of your skin. Should always be that way.
Absolutely. That's what we fought. That's the whole struggle of anti-racism. That's what civil rights was about. We are one people. What did Dr. King say that these guys can't understand today?
Well, we'll come back and discuss it a little further, and of course we'll hear from you. You can interact with the show at any time by texting us at 71010 or giving us a call at Star Talk, which is Star 8255. It's Friendly Fire here on News Talk 1010.
Friendly Fire with Ryan and Tarek continues on the Astral Talk Network.
After 7:30 tonight, we're going to get into Tariq's rather expensive morning that he had, and we'll tell you why it was so expensive.
Come again?
No singing. And why he probably will never drive a car again. We'll talk after 8 o'clock tonight about the idea of the province taking over the TTC and a whole lot of other great stuff. I can guarantee you that. But right now we're talking about the Freedom Party of Ontario, who are always well-spoken, who always have great ideas through their leadership in Paul McKeever, and
Why are they not part of the... I mean, why don't they join the Conservative or the Liberal and influence policy there? Seriously.
Because they have a certain set of beliefs that don't line up with the ideologies of the Liberals and the Conservatives.
But this was common sense. I can bet you both the Conservatives and the Liberals and the NDP, not the NDP, the two main parties do not like the idea of segregated schools.
This is the Afrocentric school ads. That they've now taken out a couple of different ads, one of them involving Muhammad Ali, where you see Muhammad Ali on the screen, and he's doing his thing, talking about how he's the greatest of all time, and it says, greatest black man, and then they take out the word greatest athlete of all time.
Yes,
I think is a very powerful message to young kids who, you know, we're all the same. We all have the same ability to achieve our dreams.
Why can't the premier, or Mr. Hudak, say the same thing that he said? What would happen? Why can't these politicians or leaders take a risk sometime and say the right thing, the gut feeling, without taking, you know, paying any attention to their advisors who are paid to dumb down politicians?
Well, that's the problem that any politician now faces going forward in this province. If you were to even take a second look at the idea of taking away the funding for the Afrocentric schools or closing them down,
what will happen?
Could you imagine how badly you'd be portrayed in the media?
Well, I don't think so.
There would be people who are advocates in that community that would come out and say that you're doing it because you're racist, because you have an agenda. A whole list of things.
You know, I'd like to face them. You know, these loser types, I'd like to face them. Don't give me this racism stuff. When you're creating a segregated environment in which you're cutting off young kids from the mainstream, these are the race-based, religious-based schools that do not solve a problem. They compound the problem. And now the taxpayers are paying for segregation. We used to pay for integration 40 years ago. Now we're paying to...
It's a definite step backwards. John, go ahead.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good, John.
Yeah, I just heard that Paul McKeever fellow, and I mean, he's talking some serious common sense there, and it's a breath of fresh air to hear a politician be talking like that, and it's fabulous. And I mean, if you disagree with him, in my mind, you're a racist. Like, I just can't see how you could not agree with that statement. And the fact that real politicians can't admit that shows they're very cowardly, and they can't get out of their box that they live in.
Yeah, but the problem is now for politicians going forward, as I said, they're trapped in that box. There's no way that they can get out of it without either having to take a bold stand and upsetting a good group of people or continuing with it the same way it's been done for the last few years.
If I was in Premier McGuinty's office or listening to the show, one of his advisors, I'd just take out the school, assert what is right about Ontario, and really generate a positive vibe about himself. But advisors, people paid $150,000 a year, young guys, to advise politicians, succumb to that advice.
All right, speaking of guys who have made big contributions to government today, we're going to come back and talk about you. We'll take a few more calls on that as well. A lot of people want to interact. We'll give you an opportunity to do so. And then we'll tell you about the misadventures of Tariq Fattah. Oh, if I could write a book. That's next as Friendly Fire continues. 7:30.
Heads up. Friendly Fire with Ryan and Tarek continues on the Astral Talk Network.
If you'd like to interact with the show, you can text us at 71010 or give us a call at Star Talk, Star 8255. A lot of great stuff still to come. We were talking about Afrocentric public schools. The Freedom Party here in Ontario is making one of their big election planks the idea of closing these schools, saying in their ads that people are individuals, they shouldn't be segregated in terms of skin color and race, and our kids should be taught to believe in themselves rather than their skin color and talk about their skin color.
And what I'm saying is, if Tim Hudak picks up this message and runs on it, he's an ex-premier.
Well, it's up to the Freedom Party right now because it's their message they're trying to put out. Paulo, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys. No, I wanted to call in because it struck sort of an accord with me when we were talking about this, because I grew up in this city, in this province, and went to school, and at the time when, not to oversimplify it, but it was just, you went to school and there was everybody there, whether you were Italian or Asian or black or from Pakistan, you just went and there were kids you played with, and it was almost him to be left at that. But what I wanted to call about, as I grew up and I became part of the working force and a more mature guy, what was interesting for me, I worked in the hotel industry, and more specifically in the kitchen. And in the hotel business, you meet every culture in the world. They come to you there, even on the inside house, the parts. You get to meet everyone, and as you grow and work with these people, you find out some things are really different. And wow, that's different. But really, we're all the same people. You have dreams, ambitions, wants, desires. And on the personal, what was cool about the world of food, it's removed from politics, it's removed from religion, and it's just the sheer passion about the love of something good. And at that level, it's amazing how much the entire planet is really almost all the same.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Sometimes when you can find that common denominator, it makes everything easier, and it makes getting along easier, and you look past the race and the skin color questions.
Imagine if you could change all religions and associate it with food. There wouldn't be any wars.
It's true. If we all just sat down at one international buffet, the world would be a better place.
If the Chinese say that that's a religion, chop suey is a religion, the Germans say, well, we have sausages as a religion.
Who's going to say no to sausages?
Oh, who's going
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. Listen, these specialty schools have been around for a while. I'm surprised all of a sudden, you know, the Afrocentric school pops up and he's also outraged. You have Native, you've got homosexual, all indirectly or directly funded by a taxpayer. So I'm not sure where, you know...
I'm opposed to all.
Yeah, I'm against all of those as well.
Yeah, the average.
You know what? This works well in the States. This race baiting. Oh yeah, we're gonna throw it going after the black guys, and we're gonna get some votes. But I don't think his tactic will work here.
You really think it's going after the black guys? Really, you're gonna dumb it down to that part of the argument?
Honestly,
Peter, you're gonna put it down to that level of
argument.
Why
did he not go after the other schools?
Which school?
How do you know that he hasn't?
I think the Aboriginal school is the dumbest idea because that is the worst possible outcome that we have seen. If it doesn't work, we don't do it. Somebody's got to have courage.
You know what? From what I've heard and what I've read, the Afrocentric school is working. You have many schools. The Jewish have their schools. The Sikhs have their schools.
I would shut them down.
Okay, but Peter, let me ask you the fundamental question here. You believe that it is better to separate our children and have them live in a world where it's only people of their own skin color or their own religion rather than integrate our children and fix some of the inadequacies that we have in the system?
No, I believe you whatever it takes to educate these kids and keep them interested in school, you do. And like I said, this has been
even
going
on. Even if the answer is segregation.
Well, you know what? If the kids, the black kids, they're not doing. Some of them are not doing well in school, and if that's what it takes to get them up to par,
then let's segregate our children. That's the answer.
Well, yeah,
just so
not
I have
segregation.
You clear.
Hey, let me finish. It's not segregation because anybody can
go
there.
Well, it is. No, nobody.
No. Anybody can go there. The door is not closed to white kids.
Brother.
Okay. So let's not misinform people. Okay.
Just a second. There's even the Somalis and the Jamaicans are not going to the same school, and they're both black.
No, anybody can go to the Afrocentric school.
Okay, but now, Peter, you're playing ridiculous semantics. We know that that's not the case. We know that the attendance for white kids going to these schools is zero. So let's not pussyfoot around the issue here. Vernon, go ahead.
Hi. Sorry. Very interesting to hear Peter's take on things because I don't disagree with certain aspects of what he's saying, and I think you guys are baiting him a little bit in terms of trying to say that it's, quote-unquote segregation. My understanding, if we're going to look at segregation historically, is that that was a government-mandated law indicating that students of one race can only attend certain schools. Students of another race have to attend a different school. In this situation, this is a voluntary decision.
But just because it's voluntary doesn't make it any less segregated.
Well, I mean, once again, segregation, if you're looking at it historically, segregation is about mandating where people can and cannot
What's
go.
What's the difference here?
Well, the difference, and I'll be honest with you, I don't disagree with some of the points that are being made about the fact that you're not teaching these kids the ability to interact with others of different cultures and different races, but the problem is that the suggestions of let's fix what's wrong with the system. I'm 36 years old. I'm an African Canadian. I was born in this country. I grew up in this country. I've been educated in this country. And what I can say is that these issues have been around forever, and they've studied them to death. There are many studies that the provincial government has undertaken that indicated there were certain issues that needed to be addressed specifically for the African-Canadian student population, for those that are not excelling.
What exactly? What is that?
Not every student is doing poorly, and not every black student is going to go to this school, or their parents are going to want them to go.
I understand. They waited for months, and they couldn't get any black kids to go to this school. The issue is, we need to then start up, come define what is African and what is black, because a Tunisian is African. That's where the word Africa comes from. Egyptians not African, and we're talking of black. What the Ghanaians and the Congolese? They speak different languages. We today have African Canadians from at least 50 different linguistic backgrounds. It's no longer black meaning Nova Scotian blacks, Caribbean blacks, and some that came from the British Isles. We now have a complex system, and to really dumb it down to Afrocentric is not the service being done to young kids who need this education.
Yeah, and I think at the end of it all, we forget that fact, that these are kids we're talking about, that if we do make the necessary changes in the public system, they would benefit a lot more, not only from what we've made as far as changes are concerned, but the idea of being able to get along with people of different ethnicities and different races, and from a very early age, interacting with those people.
I have another take. As marginalized communities, you have to admit that the African Canadian or the traditional black community in Toronto does not have access to power that a traditional white Anglo-Saxon community has. Now, imagine you take the only opportunity of young black men and women have to make the connections while they grow up in high school as the friends and people who are connected, and isolate them within the community that doesn't have those connections. I would be horrified if my daughters were segregated and said, you only go to Pakistani schools because that's where the expertise is, that's your only connection. They wouldn't even know who to connect after they're in their 20s.
Because it closes them off from the rest of the world. They have no experience with anybody else.
No friendships.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Tariq Fatah's day. Quite a costly one, and we'll tell you why as Friendly Fire continues in 60 seconds.
The time is 7:45.